Paolo Sandro, welcome here in Girona.
Thank you so much.
We're really happy to have you here. I'll just say a few words about you because people don't know what you did up until now.
Perhaps they don't want, so...
Definitely. Paolo finished his first PhD in administrative law in Rome, in Italy. And then he finished his second PhD in legal theory in Edinburgh. Right now he's working in Liverpool, Hope University, and he's moving in 2 months to Manchester, Salford. Today he will present a paper, actually a chapter of his forthcoming book, and he will criticize moderate legal realism. To start with, I propose that you say something about the structure of the book so that we can understand better why you picked this argument, and then we can move on to the presentation of the argument. Thanks.
Thank you so much, guys. This is not a lip service. I really appreciate you being here with such a wonderful day outside. I'm sure you have better things to do. I would have better things to do, but, you know, but I really appreciate you taking the time. And thanks to Andre for organizing this, and you know, for being always so kind and generous with me. This chapter is part of what it's going to be, hopefully, my first book in English. Well, first book ever, not just in English, which I shall publish next year, possibly January 2017. If everything goes to the plan, with Hart. And the book is based on my PhD project at Edinburgh, and it's about the creation and application of law. The thesis, actually, the project, has a very particular type of history, in the sense that that wasn't my original project. My original project was about the separation of powers. So for 2 years of my PhD, almost three, I had been writing on the separation of powers. And then, kind of halfway through third year, there was a moment of divine inspiration or whatever, and I realized, okay, but I can't really write about separation of powers if before I don't try to make sense of what it means to create and apply the law. And so, starting from third year, I changed completely, not completely the focus, but I had to focus on something that was kind of preliminary to separation of powers. And so the book is about creation and application of law. Apologies that I didn't provide you with a handout today, nor slides, my work is not research-based, is heavily teaching-based, which means that has been quite complicated in the last few weeks because the academic year is just starting. So just to give you an idea of the book starts with an account of the structure of constitutional democracy in the sense of the relationship between democracy and constitutionalism. And I try to see, or at least I think that maps onto the distinction between creation and application of law. So just roughly speaking, whereas democracy has to do with the creation of law, the democratic principle. Thank you. Constitutional law has to do instead with the application part and the rule of law. Second chapter is the one that you have here, which is the one about legal realism. Third chapter is analysis of the concept of discretion in jurisprudence and administrative law. In the common law and civil law context is a very kind of comprehensive analysis. Then fourth chapter, it's the relationship between law and language. Fifth is creation and application, where I flesh out the distinction. And the last one, which is the one I still have to write, is about separation of powers. More to the point, why did I write about legal realism? I kind of explain it at the beginning of the paper. I write about legal realism because if realists are right, then I'm not sure, or at least, let's say, global legal realists or radical legal realists are right, then we can't talk of application of law. There is no such thing. Law is always a process of law creation at every stage. And so judges, they don't actually apply anything. There are no such thing called rules that constrain judges and, you know, judges applying the kind of formal model or syllogistic model or whatever. If skepticism in particular is right, then there is no such thing as application. So my point was kind of logical. If you want to defend the idea that in some cases there is something called, we can meaningfully call application of law, then you need to try to show that legal realism is not untenable, don't get me wrong. Because what I do in the paper, and this is something that I'm grateful for Andrei for already mentioning something to me. What I try to do in the paper is hopefully clear, but if it's not, I'm so much looking forward from, you know, to hearing it from you. The way I see it is that there is something called radical skepticism about adjudication, about rules, which means, you know, Tropaire or some, you know, the Scandinavian, some of the Scandinavians, some American legal realists, at least according to some readings, and for instance, the first Riccardo Guastini, which basically says, like, there is no such thing, like, law is indeterminate as a whole, and so this has a series of problems for our understanding, not just of law and of our adjudicative practices, but also, it's a problem for our understanding of our democratic, liberal democratic practices. So on the one hand, you have radical skepticism. On the other hand, you have instead what we can call cognitive theories of adjudication, Hartian theories of adjudication, mixed theories of adjudication. Several names have been used, but basically theories that say, look, there is a large extent of adjudication and legal phenomenology that is determinate. And then we have indeterminacy when it comes to hard cases, when it comes to cases that go to, you know, Supreme Courts, appellate jurisdiction, and so forth, which is the kind of approach that I think most legal positivists these days subscribe to. Hart, Marmor, I think Raz, I mean, most legal positivists do put adjudication in those terms. And then while I was reading about legal realism, I realized that two people in particular, Leiter and Guastini, and perhaps there is someone more, but those are the two people I was more familiar with, and also I think the main kind of the forefront figures for American legal realism on the one hand and for the Genova school of realism on the other. Guastini and Leiter, it seems to me, tried to do something different. They tried to carve out a space in between these Hartian mixed theories of interpretation and adjudication and radical skepticism. So they say, we are not radical skeptics, but at the same time, we don't agree with Hartian theories. We are not Hartian, we are not cognitivists. So this is what I called moderate legal realism, and this is the focus of the chapter. I'm not sure whether that comes across, and again, I'm looking forward to hear from you whether it does, but that's the focus. So the way I see it, these people try to say, look, there is an extreme position on the one hand, then there is the mainstream position on the other. We subscribe to neither. We are somewhere in between. We are not radical skeptics, and this is, for instance, something that Guastini says quite clearly. He kind of rejects the Michel Tropaire type of, you know, skepticism or realism or whatever, which is absolute. So there is no such thing as application of law. Everything is always a process of creation, etc., etc. And they try to say something instead, moderate. This version that I called moderate, Frederick Schauer has called it tamed realism, speaking about American legal realism and Leiter, but I think it applies very well to Guastini as well. So once I realized this, my question was, his This position, Guastini's and Leiter's, is feasible from a meta-theoretical point of view, from a theoretical point of view. Does it make sense? Can they coherently say that they don't subscribe to radical skepticism, and at the same time they're not cognitivists? According to Guastini, everything that is not, you know, his position and is not radical is cognitivist. So can they honestly, not honestly in the sense of morally honestly, but theoretically, some sort of genuine type of scientific attitude, can they say that this position is feasible? And this chapter, if you managed, and I again really appreciate it, managed to read it, tries to say is that it's not possible. That moderate realism, moderate skepticism is self-defeating. If you take its premises seriously, it becomes a radical, global skepticism, realism, which is fine. I'm not saying that realism is untenable as a position, all right? I'm saying that, and that's towards the end of the paper, I'm saying, look, if you're a realist, if you don't think that things like rule exist, whatever, fair enough. But that's a very, first of all, I think it's a metaphysical position, which you need to argue for. And it's one that creates more problems than it solves, because then you cannot make sense with a great deal of rule-based phenomena. In law, but again, I think as well in social life as well, if we look at social rules, at least in some ways. So my point is, if there is no such thing in the middle as moderate realism, then you have to choose. And that's a pre-theoretical choice. In this sense, I studied with Luigi Ferraiolis in Italy. And I think that Ferraioli at some point is very clear about this. He says, look, at some point, of course, there is going to be some pre-theoretical value choice that it's at the basis of scientific theory. So scientific theories in the sense of Kelsen cannot be pure. There cannot be such thing, because even if we are talking about scientific theories about astronomy, there is going to be some assumption beneath or behind that is not theoretical, that it's pre-theoretical. And I agree with him. So my point is just, once this sort of choice or approach is in front of you, you can take either, as long as then you defend it coherently and, you know, like rationally and convincingly and so forth. So I'm not trying to do, and I know that this is kind of ambivalent in the paper. I'm not trying to say that, okay, let's put it this way, I'm not a realist. I think that realism creates more problem in law that it fixes, that it solves. So I do think that we ought to, approach the legal phenomenon or the adjudication with a cognitivist theory of adjudication and interpretation. But at the same time, if you're a realist, fair enough, but you must be ready to acknowledge that everything is indeterminate in law, and not just a part of law. If you take the premises of your own position seriously, law is pervasively indeterminate. That's my point. And whether you agree with that or not, I think that would be a possibly a very nice way to kick off the discussion. If it makes sense, guys, I'm not sure. Yeah, that would be amazing. If it makes sense to you guys, this idea that if you are a realist, then it has to be all the way down, that you can't be a realist halfway, as I think Leiter and Guastini do.